All right, let's open our Bibles to Ephesians 6 and verse 12, a very familiar verse to us concerning a battleground, not a playground. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I was saved in 1967. I was 23 years old at the time. And God called me to preach soon afterwards, as I told the folks in the Sunday school this morning. And in a few months, I was single then. I could really move fast. And a few months, I was out in Texas going to Bible college and the old J. Frank Norris School there in Arlington, Texas. And a lot of the students really were fans of Lester Roloff. They liked to listen to him on the radio. And so one day, one of them said, "Hey, Lester Roloff's going to be in Midland, Texas. We've got a few days off. We can take off and go over there and hear him." And so we did. And heard Lester Roloff preach, and it's the only time I ever met him, only occasion to meet him in his lifetime. And he offered to give us a plane ride. And so we could not take the plane ride. We had to leave before he could leave, and so we had to drive back. And but one of his favorite sayings was, "It's a battleground, not a playground." And isn't that so true?
Yes, sir.
The world is a battleground. But many Christians look at it like a playground. We look to see how much fun that we can have and how many good times we can have. But God's placed us in a battleground situation.
Amen.
We're fighting this tremendous spiritual battle. And we all need to be aware of that at all times. So, do you remember the hymn? We don't sing it much anymore. "Onward, Christian Soldiers." It's too militant, even for fundamental Baptists. Premillennial Baptist. Too militant, too military. "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go." Well, that's just what we're in, friend.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. We're in a battle. And one thing for sure, we're soldiers in the army of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, what about the enemy? Well, the enemy is waging a threefold assault going on against us, and that is the world, the flesh, and the devil. We have our own flesh wanting our old life back. We have the world trying to drag us back. And we have the devil trying to make sure it goes to his plan. So we have all this opposition against us. It's incredible. But our flesh, our old nature, fights against the Spirit of God. Isn't that something? Our old nature fights against the Spirit of God, against the things of God in this life. Paul puts it in Galatians like this, in Galatians 5 and verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would." We want to do these things, but we cannot because of the spiritual battle going on. So yes, we're engaged in spiritual war, a serious battle. And think back before you were a Christian, you weren't in any battle then. Because we all had just one nature, the nature to sin. The devil had us right where he wanted us, and that was on the way to hell. Hey, there was no battle there at all. But once you and I get saved, then the battle begins. Because now we have two natures. We have, still have to deal with the old Adamic nature. I remember in Bible college, I hate locked doors. I just don't like to. When I grew up, let me tell you something, how times have changed. When I grew up, we never locked our door. We'd go off to town. We'd go anywhere. We never had a locked door. And my dad had a shotgun. It was right up on the over the couch there in the living room, and he had this kind of a gun rack there, you know, left it wide open. And I came back, and my roommate had locked the door and left, and I could not get through that door. So I backed off with my leg and my foot, and I busted the lock right off the door. Well, of course, you know how you're reported for this, you're reported for that. I had to go see the dean, you know, and the first thing he said to me, he says, "Now, Vester, we have to be careful of the old Adamic nature." And so we still have to deal with that. We still have to deal with that. Even though we're saved, we're born again, we still have to deal with the old Adamic nature all the rest of our life to our dying day, until our last breath and we leave this world. So we're engaged in spiritual war. And so once we trust Christ, everything changes. Everything. We become part of the family of God and a soldier of the cross. Spiritual war that we are engaged in deserves all of our energy.
Yes, sir.
And it will take all of our energy.
Sure.
Despite the devilish attacks, souls still are being saved. Now, first of all, be strong, the Bible says in verse 10. Be strong. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. Don't be strong in your opinions. Oftentimes our opinions are wrong. Amen? Don't be strong in your experience. That can fail you too. Don't be strong in your career. Don't be strong in your bank account. But be strong in the Lord, the Bible says.
Amen.
Be strong in the Lord. Think about Joshua and 40 years of wandering. But Moses had died and the Israelites were ready to move into the promised land. At the same time, there were giants in the land. And they were fierce. And there were mighty warriors. They had armor. They had chariots. The most fearsome weapon in the ancient world was the war chariot. They had those. They had walled cities. And God told Joshua three times, be strong. Be strong, I have gone before you. Be strong, I am with you. Be strong, every place your foot touches is yours. Those are great words to enter into battle with, amen?
Amen.
Be strong, and God promises us He'll be with us if we'll be strong.
Amen.
And anytime you decide, friend, to take a stand for the Lord and win someone to Jesus Christ or witness to someone, do God's work in one way or another, the devil is going to be aroused. And he will come against you. Anytime you want to grow closer to the Lord, the devil will come against you. So, once you take a strong stand, or once I take a strong stand to obey the Lord, we unleash the full assault of the devil himself. Not only that, not only be strong, but be covered. Verse 11, put on the whole armor. Any good soldier will tell you that it's important to have good equipment for battle. In the Civil War, the North had the Spencer repeating rifle. And the Spencer repeating rifle was a new invention at that time. And the Confederates said that the North could load that on Sunday and shoot it all week until the next Saturday. If the North had produced that weapon in much larger numbers than they did, the war would have been over in a year. I don't know why they didn't, but they didn't. In the World War II, we had the M1 Garand. And the M1 Garand was the first semi-automatic rifle that every soldier would have in any army in the world. The American Army had that. It was the greatest rifle there was in the world at that time. It made a difference in World War II. I remember when I was a kid, I was about 10 years old, and I saw a magazine article, and I don't know what the magazine article said, but it said, the M1 Garand, the rifle that won the war. Every other army in the world had a bolt-action rifle, except Americans. Equipment makes a difference. In any battle there is, a soldier's equipment, that makes a big difference. So be covered. So Paul says, not only is our strength from the Lord, but also our strategy or our equipment. God gives that to us. We can't go into battle thinking that we can win this thing on our own. Why? Because the enemy is stronger than we are. Not only is he stronger than we are, but he is smarter than we are. And I've noticed there's basically two prevailing thoughts about the devil. Number one, Christians underestimate their enemy. They underestimate the power of the devil. They think the devil is not such a powerful being. They fall right into his traps by thinking that. Oh, that movie will not hurt me. Did you know all these horror movies, all that's satanic? That's all satanic stuff. Kids 8, 9, 10 years old are watching these horror movies and having nightmares over the movies that they watch. Parents think it's harmless or it'll go away. Oh, that drink that I have after work with the other guys, that's not going to hurt me. I can have one drink. One affair of adultery, that's not going to hurt. Nobody's going to find out. They don't take Satan seriously. They think he's not really that powerful. Really, he's not going to do us any harm, really. Come on, devil. Put up your dukes and let's duke it out, they say. What nonsense. What nonsense. But Michael, the archangel. Angels are powerful beings. But even Michael, the archangel, did not bring railing accusation against the devil. You know what he did? The Lord rebuke thee. Hey, the Lord's the only one that has the power. He didn't try to fight him himself. We make a terrible mistake when we underestimate our enemy. Yes, sir. He's no cartoon figure. He's a powerful and intelligent spiritual being, a master deceiver. Many have fallen to his schemes. Many. On the other hand, many Christians overestimate the devil and how much power he has. Even though he is powerful, he is not all powerful.
Amen.
Even though he is cunning, he is not all knowing. He's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at once. And he's no match for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Although the devil wants us to think that he is, he wants to place that thought in our minds that he is so powerful, and Jesus Christ doesn't have a chance with him. So God knows exactly what our breaking point is, and he always provides the way of escape. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the full armor of the Lord. Don't leave any piece off. And notice in the armor, there's no armor for the backside. There's a breastplate and the helmet and the shield and the belt, but there's no armor for the backside. We're not to run from the devil. We're to oppose the devil. Be strong, be covered, and then last, be aware. Verse 12. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, and the word wrestle means hand-to-hand combat. In the Greek games, if someone lost a wrestling match, their eyes was gouged out. Now, I would say, to me, I'm just saying, that's taking wrestling a little too serious, don't you think? To gouge a guy's eyes out. I mean, going to have to lighten up there a little bit. It's not that serious because you lose a wrestling match. Paul is talking about a serious fact. When he uses the terminology of wrestling, what wrestling meant in his day is different from what we mean in our day. So we don't really get the full idea here of what he's talking about. When you think of the seriousness of how they took wrestling in the Greek games in the time that he lived, it's altogether different from what we think today. This is a fight to the death. The devil doesn't give up. Notice something else. We're not fighting other people. You're not fighting your wife. You're not fighting your husband. You're not fighting your boss, your teacher. You're not fighting others, Christians. Our fight is against the devil. You're not fighting other drivers. Telling you what, when I get behind that wheel of that Dodge and I've got the 15,000 pound trailer behind me, I'm just like this. I don't look to the left. I don't look to the right. I avoid all those hand signals and just keep driving straight. Because my fight's not against another driver. Our fight is against the devil. And what happens is whenever we get angry, the devil takes that anger and he feeds it. And he makes it grow. First thing you know, you've got an explosive situation here. I heard of just the other day on the internet, a couple of men were standing out. They were neighbors. They were standing out in their driveway and they were arguing. They had been arguing off and on for a couple of years. They just didn't get along. And one of the guys just left the argument, went over and picked up a gun and shot the guy. Do you see how that happens? Do you see how that goes? The devil's in the business of just flaming that and building that up and expanding that anger, you see. And first thing you know, you're in real trouble. And there's a real spiritual disaster. Our fight is against a well-organized and systematic horde of demons. Paul describes the different orders and rankings of the demonic realm. Now, the devil cannot be in every place at one time, so he employs, the Lord only knows how many billions of demons there are in the world. There's certainly a demon of drink. There's certainly a demon of drugs. These two go very close together. Certainly a demon of lust. There are certainly demons that specialize in all manner of sexual sin. There's certainly a demon of lying. And for the Christian, these demons cannot possess us, but they can influence us. They can have great influence on us, especially if we let them. Satan has privates, he has corporals and sergeants. So he can only be in one place at one time, and so he sends his demons to do his work. So be strong, be covered, be aware. Ephesians 6, verse 13 through 17, take unto you the whole armor. Girt with truth, that's the belt. Girt with truth. Breastplate. Feet shod with the gospel of peace. Shield of faith. Helmet of salvation. And sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Did you know that in this battle that you and I are engaged in, we only have two weapons? The devil has almost an infinite number of weapons he uses against us. But God only gives us two. But they are sufficient for the job. One is the Bible, the sword of the Spirit, two offensive weapons. The other is prayer. Ever heard of prayer warriors? They're warring against the evil spirit of Satan. And how are they doing that? Through prayer. They're making war in the spirit realm. There's a great war surrounding us, unseen, invisible, of God and the devil, the Holy Spirit, and Satan. And we are to make war against the devil, resist him, and do it spiritually. It's the only effective manner to do spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is different than physical warfare. And so I want to illustrate all this by drawing for you tonight, and it's a battleground. Learn to look at the world and all of us, including myself, and sometimes I get carried away and I think, man, this is great. Hey, we're having such fun, I can't hardly stand it. But actually, friend, this old world's a battleground. And every morning when we wake up, we'll start thinking of what kind of battle we're going to face that day. We'll be ahead. And we'll be doing God's will. Because he wants us to see the world as a spiritual battleground, not as a playground.